In Romans 8, Paul proclaims, "We know all things work together for good for those who love God." And then, "Neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." These words have comforted people in hospital rooms, at gravesides, during wars, through heartbreaks, and in moments when life seems impossible. Yet there's one verse in this passage that has sometimes caused deep confusion and even harm. All things work together for good. Many Christians have heard this interpreted to mean that everything happens for a reason, that God causes suffering for some hidden purpose, that every tragedy is secretly a blessing, that if only we could see the bigger picture, we would understand why the cancer came, why the loved one died, why the relationship ended, why the violence occurred, or why the depression descended. But let's be honest, that's not what life feels like. And I don't believe it's what Paul is saying. Bad things happen. Terrible things happen. People are abused. Communities are devastated by war. Families experience loss. Natural disasters destroy homes. Disease attacks bodies. Anxiety and depression invades our minds. None of these things are good. We do not need to pretend otherwise. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us, faith does not require us to deny darkness. Faith teaches us how to find God within the darkness. The Christian story never asks us to call evil good. The cross itself tells us otherwise. The betrayal was not good. The torture was not good. The execution of Jesus was not good. The crucifixion was not good. God did not call these things good. God met humanity in the midst of them. There is a profound difference. Paul does not say all things are good. Paul says God works for good in all things. The difference matters. One statement glorifies suffering. The other proclaims God's faithful presence and suffering. One asks us to explain tragedy. The other promises that tragedy will not have the final word. That is a very different gospel, and it is a gospel we desperately need. Because many of us arrive here today carrying burdens. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are afraid. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us are wrestling with questions that have no answers. We are not gathered here because life is easy. We are gathered here because life is hard. And because somehow through it all, God keeps holding on to us. That is where today's psalm meets us. Psalm 119 is an extraordinary love poem about God's teaching. The psalmist says, "Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your word gives light. Turn to me and be gracious to me. My eyes shed streams of tears because your laws are not kept." The psalmist loves God deeply. Yet the psalmist is crying. There are tears, there is longing, there is distress. And there is no promise here that devotion prevents suffering. The person who treasures God's word still experiences pain. In fact, perhaps their pain is intensified because they see how far the world is from God's dream. The more deeply we love, the more deeply we hurt. Howard Thurman understood this. Living through segregation and racial terror, Thurman knew that faith does not remove suffering. Faith gives us the courage to confront suffering without surrendering our souls. He wrote about finding an inward center, a place where God's presence remains alive to us despite external circumstances. Not because the world becomes safe, but because God's love remains real. The psalmist has found that center, and Paul has found it too. Romans 8 is often described as one of the greatest chapters in Scripture. Yet we sometimes forget the context. Paul is writing to communities facing persecution. These are not comfortable Christians debating theology over coffee. These are vulnerable believers wondering whether following Christ might cost them everything. Paul knows suffering firsthand. He has been imprisoned, beaten, rejected, threatened. He is not speaking theoretically. He is speaking from experience, which makes his words even more powerful. Because Paul does not say suffering is an illusion. He names it trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, danger, violence. These are real. And then Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not around these things, not instead of these things, in these things. The love of God does not keep us from every storm. The love of God accompanies us through every storm. Richard Rohr often says that God is not the prize waiting at the end of the journey. God is the journey itself. God is present in every moment, every joy, every heartbreak, every loss, every beginning, every ending. The Christian life is not about escaping reality. It is about discovering that divine love is already present within reality, even when we cannot see it, especially when we cannot see it. That may be why Paul begins this section by talking about prayer. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we ought. What an honest admission. We do not know how to pray. Sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes our grief silences us. Sometimes confusion overwhelms us. Sometimes anger chokes our prayers. Sometimes all we can manage is tears or sighs or silence. Anne Lamott famously says there are three essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. Many days, all we can pray is help. And apparently, that is enough. Paul says the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Before we find language, God finds us. Before we formulate a prayer, the Spirit is already praying with us. Before we understand our pain, God is holding it. This is grace. Not that we pray perfectly, but that God loves us completely. Diana Butler Bass often speaks about Christianity as a way of belonging rather than merely believing. Faith begins not with certainty, but with relationship. Not with having all the answers, but with knowing we are loved. That is exactly what Paul is describing. The foundation of faith is not a certainty. The foundation of faith is belovedness. And belovedness changes everything. Because when we know we are loved, we become free. Free to tell the truth. Free to lament. Free to question. Free to struggle. Free to hope. And free to begin again. One of the most damaging ideas many Christians have inherited is the belief that faith means pretending everything is fine. But Scripture never asks us to pretend. The Bible is full of lament, full of grief, full of protest, full of people crying out, "How long, O Lord?" The psalmist does, the prophets do, Jesus does, and Paul does. The faithful do not avoid lament. They bring lament to the presence of God. Jackie Lewis often reminds us that love tells the truth. Love refuses denial. Love names injustice. Love acknowledges pain. Love confronts oppression. Because healing begins with honesty. God's love is not fragile. God can handle our questions. God can handle our anger. God can handle our sorrow. God is already there in the middle of it. That brings us to perhaps the most important question of all. If God does not prevent every tragedy, what exactly does God's love do? What difference does it make? Paul's answer is astonishing. God's love creates a bond that nothing can destroy. Not death, not life, not fear, not failure, not grief, not doubt, not powers nor principalities, not the future, not the past. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Notice that Paul does not say we can't feel separated. Many of us have felt separated. Many saints have felt abandoned. Mother Teresa wrote about decades of spiritual darkness. Countless faithful people have wondered, where was God? Feelings come and go, but God's love remains. The sun does not cease to exist because clouds hide it, and God's love does not disappear because we cannot feel it. Brian McLaren suggests that the deepest message of the gospel is not about escaping the world, but participating in God's ongoing restoration of the world. That can change how we hear Romans 8. God's promise is not that bad things will never happen. God's promise is that love is always at work, bringing healing, redemption, new possibilities from even the most broken situations. Not because suffering is good, but because love is stronger. Not because evil wins, but because God refuses to surrender creation to evil. This is resurrection faith. Resurrection does not erase crucifixion. Resurrection transforms what crucifixion cannot destroy. The wounds remain, but they no longer define the story. And perhaps that is the good Paul is talking about. Not comfort, not prosperity, not an immunity from pain, but transformation. The slow, persistent work of divine love, creating life where death seemed to reign. Hope where despair threatens. Community where isolation dominates. Courage where fear controls. Compassion where bitterness beckons. The good is not the circumstance. The good is what God's love keeps creating within and among us. I've seen this happen. I have seen grieving people become sources of comfort for others. I have seen survivors of injustice become advocates for justice. I have seen people shattered by loss discover depths of compassion they never knew existed. Not because suffering was good, but because God's love kept working quietly, patiently, persistently. The same love is working now, quietly, patiently, persistently, in you, in this congregation, in our community, in a world that often seems overwhelmed by division and fear. The world tells us that hatred is stronger. The gospel tells us that love is stronger. The world tells us that violence wins. The gospel says love endures. The world tells us that despair is realistic. The gospel says hope is realistic because God is still present. And so we come back to Paul's triumphant conclusion. If God is for us, who is against us? Not because nobody opposes us, not because hardship disappears, not because suffering vanishes, but because God's love is greater than anything that opposes us. And then comes Paul's magnificent crescendo. Neither death, nor life, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not your failures, not your fears, not your doubts, not your diagnosis, not your grief, not your mistakes, not even death itself, nor your unanswered questions. Nothing can separate you from God's love. You may lose many things in this life, but you will never lose that. Because you are held. You may not know what tomorrow brings. You may walk through the valley of shadows, but you do not walk alone. The Spirit is praying with you. Christ is walking beside you. God's love surrounds you. And nothing in heaven or earth can take that away. Thanks be to God. Amen.